Amen. 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 Our worship is for real. Everybody say for real. It's just times are too challenging for your worship not to be real. It's just too challenging. I want to personally thank the church for often when the pastor is gone, and I've been gone for 3 weeks, the offering really falls apart. And so people have a tendency to, when the pastor is not here, to withhold their offering, not give, and all that. Well, that was not the case at Kingdom Embassy. So you guys have really been blessing us, so we appreciate that so much, because we couldn't do the work we do without you all. That just says so much about our maturity and our growth in Christ. And it's about our worship. It's about our worship being real. Amen? I want to read something to you as we prepare our hearts for worship and giving. Right, because giving is a time of worship, and we want to take that seriously. So often we worship God in our praise, in our song, in our dance, in our preaching, and all that. But when we one of the greatest times we can ever worship God is really in our giving, and not just giving in our offerings, but giving of us. It's a great opportunity for us to really worship God and see the glory and the power of God in our giving. In the book of Acts, Chapter 4, the believers shared their possession. I want you to see what happened when the church was unified and when they put God first. It says, all the believers were, watch this here, one in heart and what? Mind. They were one in heart and mind because it was all about the kingdom of God. He says, and he goes on and says, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. What did they share? They shared everything they had, and you got to remember, they really was operating from their higher being, from their spiritual being, right? They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God, now watch this, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Nobody was in need of anything. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now, they didn't have the mindset that a lot of people have now that's really non-spiritual, and they just figure out, man, the church is supposed to take care of me. Their mindset was that we're supposed to take care of the church, because the church were the people, and they was all one mind and one accord, and they didn't want anyone to be lacking. So they wanted to make sure that the church was in a position that whenever someone was in need, that they would be able to help them. Now, I want you to understand something. We often come and we expect things, but we don't really give, right? In order for the ministry and everything to work the way it's supposed to work, it's not about the pastor driving a Bentley or a Cadillac or Rolls Royce or a Mercedes or all that. I just borrowed Deacon Joe's and Dr. Tracy's Mercedes, you know, so y'all don't have to buy me one, right? That's not what it's about. It's about us being able to be a blessing, man, in the house of God. said nobody in the family, man, would ever be in lack of anything. You know, and nobody tries to take advantage of anything. They wanted to make sure that everybody's needs were taken care of because that was the thing that was important. And so I want you guys to understand that. So when we think about giving our worship to God and we think about giving, we have to take our offering and we have to look at our offering and say, this is a gift that God has given me. I get an opportunity to give back to God a portion of what he's given to me. The thing is, I can never outgive God, right? Now, people who don't understand it, that's carnally minded, they think different. But I'm so spiritually minded, I just trusted it, and God blessed me over the years, right? Everything that we have in this world, man, God has given it to us, right? So everything, all our money, our 401ks, everything we have is really God giving it to us to really do ministry in the earth. Right? That's why he really gave it to us, so we can do ministry in the earth. It's not for us to hoard it and think we have so much and not give. And I'm telling you, not what I heard, but what I know, right? The more I gave, the more God gave back to me. I just didn't understand. I just knew the principle. I just gave, and God gave it back to me. And I just blessed people. And as I blessed people, man, people blessed me. And the more I gave, the more God, he gave it to me good measure. Everybody says, pressed down, shaking together, right? Now, here's what he said. Men, because God works in the hearts and minds of men. And he touched the minds of people, and they give. In Luke 6:30 says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you as well, right? So God knows your heart. That's why we don't tell. We don't. And so thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you guys so much. Thank you. You guys are in for a treat. In for a treat. Phil, for those who have not heard Phil comes in quite often. But some of you all may have never heard him. He is probably one of the most masterful teachers. I know in the covenant for sure, hands down. And I've been in Church of God in Christ. There's not many people that can teach as well as he can teach. And God has given him the gift to be able to teach and preach the gospel in such a way, man, that anybody, whatever level you are, you can grab it. And so we are so blessed and so honored to have Pastor Phil here with us. And just a little sidebar, he just got adopted into the covenant. And so I don't know if he's still going to be my coach. But now he now has his own church now, and so I got to ride this train as long as I can ride it before I can't ride it on Sundays no more, right? So he's just a blessed. You guys are going to be blessed. Get your notes out. Get your pens out. He's going to make it super simple, and it's going to be so annoying and so powerful. So at this time, my girl, come on, baby girl. Angie's going to do a Bible affirmation. And after the Bible.
Amen. Well, good afternoon, Kingdom Embassy. So good to be with you once again. And I was sharing with my wife, Pastor Cece, as we were making our way here. It's good to be with our second church home, is what I like to call Kingdom Embassy. We feel very comfortable here. We feel very welcome here. And so just looking forward to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us on today. Amen. Let's ask God's blessing over our time and his word on today. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we don't take this lightly. Certainly, we thank you for those who are online, but there's nothing like being in person. And so, Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in this place. Don't allow any of us to leave the same way that we have come, is our prayer. We're so glad that last night wasn't our last night. Today is a new day. another opportunity to enjoy life, to evangelize the lost and the glorified. You are great God. And so we pray, oh God, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Allow the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let the people of God say amen and amen. Title of our message on today is Doing More, in 2024. Doing More in 2024. And so today is March 17th, right? We're 2.5 approximately months into this new year. And I don't know how this new year is going for you. I don't know if you're off to a great start or if you are wondering to yourself, oh, what's the rest of this year going to be like? But here's the thing. I believe that God has a great plan for you during this year. And that God's desire for all of us that is that we would do more in 2024. Not minus, not mediocre, but more, right? Here's the thing. God has done more for us, has he not? And so our heart should be, Lord, I want to do more for you. And so our subtitle there, here's what I mean by more. We need to grow your impact for Christ and his kingdom. More. You need to have more impact in 2024. And here's one of the things I like to say, and we need to realize as children of God, is that life is not about income. And so initially when you hear that more in 2024, oh yeah, Lord, give me more. I want some more money and I want some more material goods. And of course there's a place for that. But really, life is about impact, and life is about growth. Life is not about income. One day you're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to have to give an account for the time that he has given you on this side of heaven. And guess what? He's not going to ask you how much money you got in your bank account. He's going to ask you how much impact do you have in your life account. And so when we talk about more, we're talking about impact. And here's the thing, folks. All of us should wake up every day looking for our God-given assignment and striving to have impact in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the universe, in our families and in our workplace and in our community and in the marketplace. The question is, it's not how many degrees you have. The question is not how much material goods have you amassed, but the question is, how are you doing at letting the Lord use you? How are you doing at letting the Lord use you? On this day, Sunday, you're going to leave this place of worship, and what you don't want to do is go to your little cubby hole at home and just get into you, but you want to have your spiritual antennas up, because even on this day, Sunday, and even on Monday, and even on Tuesday, and every day of the week, God has an assignment for you. And God wants you to have an impact for Christ and his kingdom. Next slide. And so here's the idea then with more. Here's what I mean by more. I created an acronym. More stands for manifesting outstanding results every day. That's what you need to do in 2024. Outstanding results every day. You serve the God of the universe. You serve, one of the titles I love that the scriptures give of God is that he is the Most High God. And so you serve the Most High God, and you need to do it what? In a most high way. And so you need to manifest outstanding results every day for Christ in his kingdom. And listen here, folks, you can do it with God's help. I don't know what you're doing. Maybe some of you have found your lane, and you are hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. But here's the thing I do know. We all can do better. We all can go higher, and we all can be greater. Right? We're all works in progress. Nobody has arrived. And so the question is, how can we do more? Next slide. And so here's a couple of verses that speak to this thought of doing more. First of all, Ephesians 3 and 20. I love this one. It says, now unto him that is able. Him that is able. That's a reference to what we can do when we let God have his way. To do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above what? All that we ask or think. And how do we do it? According to that power that worketh in us. And so let me be real clear today. I'm not saying be busier. You need to be busier in 2024. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you need to do more for God. And that there is a power on the inside of you that can help you do more for Christ in his kingdom. That's what life is all about. And so here's the idea. With God's help, we can do more, so much more than we realize. Some of you need to understand you can do so much more than you realize. That you can be an agent of change. That you can be a difference maker in the world. Some of us have a habit of taking a look at the mess of the world and just thinking to ourselves, boy, this world is a mess. Not realizing that you're the answer to many of the problems in the world. Next slide. Here's another verse that speaks to this thought of doing more. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect. How many know you're not perfect? You a mess. I'm a mess. We all a mess. Right? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He has apprehended you. Right? Brethren, I count myself to not have apprehended, but just one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget what happened in 2023. Forget what happened in 2022. And for some of you, maybe this hasn't been a good season. But guess what? This is a new year. This is 2024, and God is looking to do more through you in 2024, and Paul says, here's the key, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, we will get out of our efforts for God this year what we put into it. You're going to get out of your life what you put into it, and to do more, you got to put in more. Right? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about that next slide. Again, the top areas of more. So when I say more in 2024, folks, here's what I'm talking about. Number one, you got to grow more. Did you hear what I said? You got to grow more in 2024. Here's the question I have for you. This time last year, where you were at, are you further along this time, this year? I don't know if any of you stopped to do it, but really this is how we should live the Christian life, pressing towards the mark, and that is, how much did you grow in 2023? How much did you grow as a follower of Jesus? How much did you grow as a wife? How much did you grow as a husband? How much did you grow as a parent? How much did you grow as an employee? Can you honestly say I am so much further along this time this year than I was last year? And so we got to grow more if you want to do more, if you want to have more impact, if you want to hear from God, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. You got to do what? You got to grow. Some of you 60 and 70 years old, guess what? Even you need to grow. And with God's help, you can grow. But that has to be your goal. Is your goal to grow up in Christ Jesus? Is your goal to put your childish ways behind you? Ephesians 4 and 15 puts it this way. Rather speaking the truth in love, Paul says this, we are to grow up in every way We are to grow up in every way. Phil Carr, I have to grow. Arthur Duren, he has to grow. The reason that we got to grow more is because God has a plan for you. He wants to use you in a greater way. But in some ways, he can't use you because you won't get out of your own way. If you continue to do what you've always done, you will continue to get what you've always gotten. And so there's some things you got to what? Grow past. You got to get past some things. Some of you got to grow out of being mean. Can I be honest today? Some of you just mean. In fact, it's an interesting thing, this idea of a mean Christian, Pastor. But there's some mean Christians. And then we wonder why people don't want to come to church. We wonder why people don't want to give their lives to Christ, because they encountered the mean Christians. And we got to grow past our meanness and be more kind. Meanness is the opposite of kindness. But we got to grow more. The idea is there was that we got to mature in Christ. Lord, take me to the next level, and my growth ought to be your prayer and your pursuit. So we got to grow more in 2024 if we're going to have that impact, right? Number two, we got to give more. Pastor Art did a masterful job talking about that. We got to give more time and talent and treasure to Christ in his kingdom. See, we want to make more, but we don't want to give more. And many of us have our dreams of the house that we want to have and the car that we want to drive and the vacation that we want to go on. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what about all of that kingdom stuff? What about the ministries you want to do and the ministries you want to support? And so when we talk about more in 2024, one, we're saying we need to grow more, but two, we need to give more. Acts 20 and 35 says, "In all these things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak." That's what I'm talking about, giving more. And I like this. "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said," what? "It's more blessed to what? To give than to receive." And so we ought to be praying, "Lord, let me do more giving in 2024 than more receiving." And some of us got to stop focusing so much on receive. What about me, and who going to help me, and who going to give something to me? Well, if you just give unto the Lord will make sure that you get all that he has for you. Stop thinking about you and what you're going to get. And this past birthday, so such ain't give me nothing, and such ain't giving me, and people ain't gave me nothing. You got to get yourself off your mind so that God can have his way in you. You got to grow more. You got to give more. And then this third one is real interesting. You got to groan more, G-R-O-A-N. You got to be persistent in prayer. If you're going to do more in 2024, you got to pray more. And let me be honest, for some of you, you don't have to pray more. You got to pray because you haven't even started praying. You got to pray more. Can I be honest with you? Prayer is communication with God. You ought to be doing that daily. Every single day. As soon as you enter into the consciousness of after sleep, you ought to say, "Thank you, Jesus, because last night wasn't your last night." And as soon as your feet hit the floor, you ought to be having a conversation with the Lord. And so you got to pray more in 2024. But not just pray, you got to learn how to groan. Cry out to the Lord. Like you really mean what you're asking for. You got to learn how to groan unto the Lord. Look here, you can do it. You don't have to be no pastor. You don't have to be no minister. You a child of God. God is no respecter of person. If you want to talk to the Lord, he wants to talk to you. In fact, God is talking to you. The question is, are you listening and are you responding? There's an interesting verse in Romans I want to read on this thought of groaning more. I find it real interesting. Romans 8, 28, because many of you, here's your excuse. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, I don't know how to do it, as if that matters. Can you imagine being in a marriage, you a husband or a wife, and you don't talk to your spouse because I don't know how to do it. So therefore, you walk around and you don't have no conversations with them at all. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Nor does it make sense in our relationship with God. You know, I don't know how to do it, so I'm not going to pray. Guess what? Learn how to do it. Ain't nobody had to teach you how to eat, did they? Well, some of you had to be taught, but most of you came out of the womb eating. But look at this verse in Romans. I love this verse on groaning. It says, likewise, Romans 8, 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What am I doing? Removing the excuses for those of you who don't pray because you say you don't know how to pray, right? You're weak at prayer. Guess what? There's this thing called the Holy Spirit, and he will help you. And look what it says. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Some of us don't know as we ought. We should, but we don't know. Because all you got to do is remember how Big Mama prayed and remember how other prayed. Just pray like they pray. But anyway, it says, but we don't know how to pray like we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. What's the problem? You haven't realized that though you're talking to God, prayer is not just about you talking to God, but even Holy Spirit, who is a member of the Holy Trinity, will help you as you talk to God the Father. All you got to do is lean on the Spirit. All you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me in this moment. I don't know what to say, but you take the wheel and you lead me in this moment of prayer. Jesus, when he was getting ready to leave, and he told the disciples, I'm about to leave, but don't worry because I'm going to send you a helper who will remind you of everything that I said. And so many of us got a resource that we're not taking advantage of called the Holy Spirit. So we got to what? Grow more. We got to give more, and then we got to groan more. Next slide. Now, let's get into this more. I want to get a little bit more deeply into this more. So here's the thing, more in 2024. What does that mean? Number one, you got to what? Grow more. Number two, you got to what? Give more. And then number three, you got to what? Grow more. So then I imagine you're sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Carr, how do I do that? How do I get from where I'm at to where I need to be? I'm glad you asked because that's what I'm going to conclude with. So then we're going to take the acronym MORE, and I want to share with you the top activities of MORE. This is how you're going to get it done this year. This is what you got to do more of. Number one, the M is more motivation. How motivated are you to grow, give, and groan? Part of the reason why you're growing is you're not motivated to grow. And you're going to have to increase your motivation. The idea with motivation is how compelled are you? How many of you can honestly say not growing is not an option for me? Right? So you got to get to the place where growing is one of the most important things in your life. How many of you figured out a long time ago that education and growth is a lifelong process? You're just getting started. As far as you come, you got further to go. But a part of it is you got to be motivated to grow. You got to be motivated to give. You got to be motivated to groan. You got to have some want to. I want to do it. For most of you, let's be honest, your growth in Christ is God forcing you to grow. Most of you, God got to put you in the headlock and drag you to the next level of your growth. How many of you are in hot pursuit of your growth? How many of you saying, Lord, I want to be used in such a marvelous way by you, and I understand that I got to grow. So, Lord, go ahead and do what you need to do because I want to grow, and I want to give, and I want to grow. You got to be what? Motivated. Romans 12 and 11 says this, do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. You got to be fervent. You got to be motivated. You got to say, Lord, I don't want to be in the same place this time next year. And let me tell you something. For some of you, you late in the game, right? Let me be honest. Some of you have been walking with Christ, going to church 10 years and 15 years and 20 years, and you've been slow rolling in your growth. You in the slow lane. You know how you be out there driving and people be in the fast lane driving slow? Don't they get on your nerves? And then some of you say, I ain't going to do that. I'm getting in the slow lane. You in the slow lane all the time when it comes to your growth. But God is saying, be motivated. God is saying, look here, I want to do so much in you. Stop listening to that voice in your head telling you, you nobody and you ain't going nowhere. That's not the voice of God. All you got to do is make up your mind that you're going to allow God to have his way. And eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for you. Let me give you a secret. Some of you have been in Christ 10 and 15 and 20 years. But if you decide in 2024 to let God have his way, you will grow more in 1 year. You will give more in 1 year. You will grow more in 1 year. You just got to get motivated. You got to pray, Lord, give me some motivation. Here's the interesting thing. Before I go on to the next point, here's the interesting thing. You motivated to do some other stuff. The issue is, for most of us, it's not so much motivation, it's where you choose to put your motivation, right? Some of you, when the Lions was in the playoffs, you was motivated to get you some tickets for them playoffs games, wasn't you? And some of you figured it out. And so we got to be motivated. Number one, next slide. Here's, I'm giving you the more in 2024. The M is motivation. The O is organization. You need to be more organized. Here's the thing. How organized are you to grow, give, and grow? Are you organized? Here's the idea. Do you have a plan for your growth this year, for your giving this year? Or are you playing it, by ear? You know, well, you know, I get to church, and whatever I feel like giving, that's what I'm going to give, you know. And then some of us, I'm going to grow however I'm going to grow. No, you got to get organized. Now, you don't need to be no administrative genius. I'm not saying that. But if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And what is your plan in 2024 for your growth? How often are you going to read your Bible? How often are you going to pray? What books are you going to read this year to ensure that there is some growth that occurs in your life? One of the interesting things I have experienced, Pastor Art, are those who are professionals at work, right? They're professionals. And they have strategic planning sessions at work. But when it comes to their relationship with God, and when it comes to their ministry, there are no goals, there are no plans, there are no strategic sessions. Look here, folks, how do you know if you had a good year in your relationship with God if you don't have no goals, you don't have no plans, you haven't done any organizing? And so we need motivation, but we also need some organization. We got to stop flying by the seat of our pants, and it will be what it's going to be. No, you need to decide. You need to organize. You need to have some goals. Amen? So the M is what? Motivation. The O is organization. I know some of you are huge, disorganized mess, but God can help you. God can help you. All right, next slide. The R is relationships. So if you're going to grow more and give more and grow more, you got to do better at relationships. You just got to do better. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one. Proverbs says, like iron sharpening iron. In other words, here's what I'm saying. God has great plans for you, but you're going to need help. You're going to need to take advantage of relationships, and you're going to need to do better in relationships. You notice that Christianity, the founder of Christianity, is Christ. And the group of people who advanced Christianity was the apostles. And the Bible says Christ called them to be with him. And he spent 3.5 years pouring into them. Who's pouring into you? Who are you pouring into? If you're going to have the kind of impact that God desires for you to have, you're going to have to do better at relationships. Let me be honest. Some of these people watching on the video, nobody in here are terrible at relationships. Notice the people watching on the video, right? Some of us are terrible at relationships. We got to do better. The idea is how you treat people. You got to get better at how you talk to people and how you treat people. You got to get better. That is important to God. God is a God of relationships. God is about relationships. Look here, you think you off secretly mistreating people and nobody knows. God knows. He knows everything, right? And so you got to get better at relationships. You're going to have to get better. You need to understand that relationships are important to God. And so you're going to have to do better. Some of you, let me help. Some of you need to get some medication. You need to get some medication. Right? Because you got some fundamental issues. Right? And so you're going to need to get some medication to help. Some of you, I don't like to take medication. I get it. I don't like to take it either. But the way you treat people, I think you ought to try. I just think you ought to try. Some of you need to get some medication, and then some of you need to learn how to do some meditation. You need to meditate on the Word of God just so that you can do it. Here's what I'm saying. Nobody in here but on the video, some of them have mood disorders. You ever heard of that? Mood disorder. Some of you are moody Christians. We like to say you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, but it continues throughout the day for some of us. It impacts how we interact with others. Here's the thing. Don't we love to say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good? Well, is his goodness reflected in how you treat people? In fact, if God is good all the time and all the time God is good, you shouldn't have to say it. You can just show it and how you treat people. And then people will say, you know what? Do you go to church? Are you a Christian? Why? Because you're doing better at relationships. Folks, we got to do better at relationships. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with the God of the universe who wants to have a relationship with the people of the world. Relationships. How well do you treat God? How well do you treat self? And how well do you treat others? I love Philippians 2 and 5 in the NIV. In the King James, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. But the NIV rendering of it, I love. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Is that not the key to do better at relationships? The mind of Christ. You got to pray, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. Have you ever noticed when you read the four Gospels that Jesus, the master, was the master at everything, including relationships? How did Jesus treat the woman at the well? How did Jesus treat the woman caught in adultery? And we got to say, Lord, give me your mind when it comes to relationships. And let me say this. Some of you, you just need to stop yourself in your tracks. You need a whole different relationship paradigm. Because your thinking, the stinking thinking, is getting you in trouble. Relationships. So the M is motivation, and the O is organization. The R is relationships. And then let me close with the last one, the E, the next slide, the E. This is the last one. Again, let me remind you, we're talking about how you can grow more, how you can give more, and how you can grow more. It's going to take more motivation. It's going to take more organization. Right? It's going to take better relationships. But finally, evangelism. How often do you share your faith with others? It's going to take evangelism. You're going to have to do better at sharing your faith with others. If this year is going to be more impactful. You're going to have to open up your mouth and share your faith with others. Let me say this. The number one responsibility of a believer is evangelism. That's not just Pastor Art because he's a pastor. That's every single child of God. We are an army of the Lord. And you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it afraid. But I'm afraid, and what if they reject me? And we got all these things we think about. You got to share your faith. The world is dying and on its way to hell in a handbasket. You got people in your family that don't know Jesus. You got people in your workplace that don't know Jesus. And I'm assuming if you're here, you know him, right? If you don't, you need to get to know him. But most of you know him. But you don't tell anybody else about him. You talking about the Detroit Lions. You talking about the Red Wings. You talking about your favorite restaurant. You talking about your favorite television series that you binge watch instead of reading the Bible. But you're not telling anybody about Jesus. As I close, just a few tips on evangelism. Number one, it's your number one responsibility. If you were wondering, what is it that God wants me to do? Share your faith. That's what he wants, right? And so, number one, you ought to do it daily. Like some of you have never done it. I get that. You've never done it. You ought to do it every single day. You ought to wake up every day, and as you go through your day, you ought to be telling people about Jesus. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You ought to be testifying on a daily basis, every single day. I've mentioned it before. My goal is to share my faith at least three times every single day. One for the Father, one for the Son. Some of you know it. One for the Holy Ghost, right? You ought to share your faith every day. When you leave here today, at some point, somebody you encounter, you ought to share your faith with. If you're going to do more in 2024, it's going to take more evangelism. People need to hear the good news of the gospel in the midst of all of this bad news that we hear every day. There is good news. Jesus is alive. God is real. What you're dealing with, God can help you with that. Last thing I want to say about this evangelism, part of the problem is many of us think we got to put people in a headlock and force them into Christianity, right? The Bible says, no, you plant and water, but I'll do the increase. All I'm asking you to do is just to tell people, just to be my mouthpiece. And let me tell you how simple evangelism is. Evangelism sometimes is just telling somebody who looks down that Jesus loves you. That's evangelism. You know how many people out there that don't know that God loves them? You could just say to people, God just placed it on my heart. He wants you to know he loves you. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you're feeling. And he just wants you to know today that if you don't feel like anybody loves you, that God loves you. Let me give you one more simple trick and I'll be done. Evangelism, sometimes it's just praying for people. It's not trying to debate people about whether they're atheists or Islam or all that. Sometimes evangelism is say, you know what God laid on my heart? Can I pray for you? I just feel led to pray for you. And some people are going to say, well, I don't believe in God. And you can say, well, it don't matter because I do. Right? Right? Some people say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want you to pray for me. And then you just say, well, is it going to hurt you? How about you give it a try and just see what happened, right? And so pray for people, and often that will open up a door. Because guess what you get to do when you pray for them? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for this person who is very near and dear to you, and you know exactly what they going through, and Lord, you want to come in and touch their hearts and transform their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them before this day is over. And guess what? You can pray whatever you want to pray. And you can say whatever you want to say. Why? Because you're praying for them. You ought to be praying for somebody every day. Amen. And so as we close, where are you at? We're at March 17th. We're still in the first quarter of this year. And I believe that this can be your best year yet. Anybody believe that? This could be your best year yet. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. But you got to be willing to let God have his way. You got to be motivated. You got to be organized. You got to be better at relationships. And finally, you got to open up your mouth, and you will be surprised what God will do in you and through you. And so as we close on this morning, come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. Amen. The question is, do you really want to do more in 24? You know, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart for the kingdom? Where's your heart for the kingdom? We want to open up the altar for those. Let's have everyone stand to your feet. We want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ into your life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we want to present him to you today. We also want to give you an opportunity to rededicate your life to the Lord. Everybody say rededicate. Some of us have accepted Christ in our life, but we kind of went off the wrong path and started doing things our way. And then we have an opportunity today to say we're going to rededicate our life back to him. Because every day is a brand new day for you to come to God and say, God, thank you for giving me another chance to get it right. Amen? So as we bow our heads for prayer, I want you to repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I'm giving my life to you. I'm asking you to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Lord, I'm asking you to give me the power and strength to recommit and rededicate my life to you. Give me the courage and the boldness to be able to walk in your path and not be afraid to share the good news of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is going to be open for those who like prayer. If you want someone to pray with you, we had a prayer team come up. Or someone just touch and agree. They don't have to say a long prayer, but just touch and agree. Come. But Lord, as we leave this place, never your presence. Be with us, Lord. Give us all traveling mercies, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Put your arms of protection around us. Lord, be with every one of us as we go into the mission field and tell the world about the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for us. Lord, give us the courage to share our testimony. Thank you, Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Consider yourself dismissed. The altar is open for those who like prayer. We would love to pray with you.
Hey.